Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like us to sing? Used to sing. If there's a number, shout out the number. 96, the hymn number 96. Number 96 in your hymn book. Number 96 in the page number 215. Okay, we have a tune for that. 96, the page 215. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain it could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Number 96, a great hymn, great words of gospel truth. Verse 2 says, "But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." We'll stand as we sing. You'll recognize the tune and singing it out with all of our hearts. Hearts together in prayer at the throne of grace. Let us just look to the Lord afresh this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we gather before Thee tonight and we come in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one of whom we have been singing of tonight already. And Father, we thank Thee for His sacrifice upon the cross. We thank Thee, O God, that His sacrifice was a once for all sacrifice for sin. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He died for our sins upon the cross. He bore upon Himself the wrath of God that was our due, that we deserve for our sins. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that through that sacrifice we have peace, O God, with Thee. We have pardon. We have everlasting life. And we have the wonderful riches of Thy grace made known unto us. And Father, we thank Thee that this was all in the great plan and purpose of God, even in eternity past. For Christ is indeed that Lamb slain from before the very foundation of the world. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight that Thy word declares that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And O God, as we come before Thee this evening hour, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Christ, our Redeemer. We thank that He has died for us and that He's risen again, and that He is seated, O God, at Thy right hand, the right hand of the Majesty on high, and that there, O God, He intercedes and prays for us, the people of God. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people in salvation that is full and rich and free. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we have a great hope before us, a hope that is secure, that has been purchased for us by the blood of the Lamb. And, O God, as we come before Thee tonight, we do confess our sins before Thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. We pray that Thou would create within us, Lord, a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. And, Lord, prepare our hearts this night to meet with Thee, to worship Thee. And help us, Lord, by Thy Spirit and power and grace, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips this night would be acceptable, Lord, in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we return Thee thanks for all Thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us throughout today already. We thank Thee for the good things in life that Thou dost give to us, our food and raiment, our homes, our families. We thank Thee for freedom and liberty to gather in this fashion, in the place where prayer is wont to be made. And Father, we do thank Thee for all who have been able to gather with us here tonight. And Father, we pray that from this opening hymn to the last amen, that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. Draw near, O God. We would come to Thee like the two in the road to Emmaus, Lord, and our prayer would be tonight at the very beginning of this meeting, Lord, abide with us. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, and bless our hearts tonight afresh through Thy word. Do speak to us, and may Thy word, as it were, be as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And Lord, bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. Give us help. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Yet, Lord, we thank Thee for the Holy Ghost Himself, that help of us of our infirmity, even in the place of prayer. And help us, Lord, to call upon Thee. For, Lord, Thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. We thank Thee for all being able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee. Bless every family, O God, that is represented. Meet the need of all our homes and our families. And Lord, we would pray especially that Thou would unite our family circles in the Lord. We pray for loved ones tonight who know not the Lord, that Thou would speak to them, and that Thou would draw them savingly and believingly unto Thyself, O God, we pray. We pray for any that are unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. O Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace and power of God divine. For others who have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts and be unto them all that they would need and require, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we return Thee thanks for Thy presence and blessing with us here in the meetings and over the weekend. And Lord, speak on especially to the hearts of those who heard Thy word unsaved. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt make such wise, Lord, unto salvation. Remember our land tonight, O God. We thank Thee for faithful witnesses here, there, and yonder across our land. Bless every faithful servant of God. Remember the going forth of Thy word and gospel meetings and missions and ministry meetings at this time also, and other prayer meetings such as this. And Lord, we pray that Thou would be pleased to come this year, even in mercy to Thy work, and that Thou, Lord, will revive Thy work, O Lord, even in the midst of the years, O God, we pray. We thank Thee that Thou art the God of revival. Now we thank Thee that Thou hast said in Thy word that Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Remember, O God, tonight our missionaries at home and abroad, Lord, bless them. And remember the land of Turkey and Syria and Ukraine tonight. Lord, where there are great needs there, we pray, meet those needs, we pray, in mercy and in grace. And we pray especially, Lord, for the witness of Your people in those lands, that Thou will bless them, that Thou will keep them, that the Lord will protect them, and that the Lord will use them for the glory of the Lord. Bless us now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. For those also, Lord, who would listen in tonight online, whoever they are, Lord, wherever they might be, Lord, bless them also. And Lord, speak to them and minister to them by and through the word of the living God. Abide with us now, we pray. Do every heart much good, Lord. Glorify the Savior. And may we go away from this prayer meeting tonight revived and blessed and invigorated by the Spirit of God. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to Mark's Gospel, to the chapter number 3, Mark chapter 3, beginning a reading at the verse number 20 of the chapter. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us. I pray the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. To those also maybe joining us online, we pray the Lord will bless you also and minister to your needs through the Word of God. Remember the meetings here over the weekend, Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, and then the youth fellowship traveling over to Keshe, meeting here at 7:30, and then the services here in the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel meeting at 7, both services preceded by the half of prayer. And the students from the Whitfield College of the Bible will be with us to take both meetings. So be much in prayer for them, and that they'll know God's help and be a real blessing to us as they would minister in the word of the Lord. And then just this night week, we're having a deputation meeting. Our brother, Mr. Tom Rice, will be with us from the Society for the Distribution of Hebrew Scripture. So do remember that, please, also in the will of the Lord. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3, and the verse number 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, that same is my brother and my sister and mother. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 35, and we pray God will add his blessing to this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The verse I want us just to look at tonight and consider before we get down to prayers, that final verse there, a verse of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35, where Christ says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. The hymn writer says, thou sweet, beloved will of God, my anchor, ground, my fortress hill, My spirit's silent fair abode, in thee I hide me and am still. And such words, penned many years ago, really highlight the wonderful blessing of knowing and doing the will of God. And it is this particular matter of knowing and doing the will of God that Christ himself is making reference to in our text in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, or Mark chapter 3, where he says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and a mother." Now at this juncture in his life and in his public ministry, we see how Christ's ministry has been interrupted by his mother Mary and also by other members of his earthly family. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was one who did not spare himself from doing the work of his Father in heaven. And you see this from what is said at the beginning of our reading tonight in verse 20, in verse 21 of the chapter, where it says, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread." Here you see how the Lord and those with him were so busy in the work of God that they had little time. And it's as if they had even no time to eat their bread and eat their food. Such was the zeal of Christ in doing the work of God as Heavenly Father. And then in verse 21 it says, "When his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself." Here were his friends. They were concerned about his labors, and they seek to restrain him, to hold him back from work. Yes, there were those who thought that Christ was doing so much that his incessant labor would do him harm. And Mary, no doubt, with her mother's love, she had this same concern in her heart for the Lord Jesus. And now she comes with others in the family to call Christ away from his public labors and his public ministry. And you see that in verse 31 of the chapter, where it says, "There came then his brethren and his mother, standing without, sent unto him, calling him." And my her concern was to call him away from this incessant labor that he was doing for his heavenly Father. It's very interesting to note on this point that there are two other occasions in Scripture as well, whenever Mary, she interrupts and seeks to stop or hold back, if you like, the public ministry of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these was whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was a boy of 12 in the temple in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And then the other occasion was in John's Gospel, chapter 2, whenever he performed his first miracle of turning water into wine. Yes, Mary was a most godly woman, but she was not without her faults. And the lesson here to us as God's people, that we also must ever be careful to avoid hindering the work of God and the things of Christ and the progress of the gospel. And then in verse number 32 here of Mark chapter 3, notice what it says. It says, "And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." And you see then how Christ goes on here, and he answers those words in verse 33 with a question that he himself puts. It says in verse 33, "And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren?" And then he himself, he goes on and he gives a twofold answer to that particular question that he himself asks. The first part of that answer you see in verse number 34, where it says, "And he looked round about on them that which sat about him, and said, Behold my mother and my brethren." And here he makes specific reference to his own disciples. Yes, his disciples, they had their faults, their failings, their shortcomings, but they were seeking to do the will of God. Remember how earlier on in this chapter the Lord had called them to be his disciples. Look at verse 14 of the chapter. It says, "He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach." And who were among that number? There was Simon Peter, there was James and John, there was Andrew, there was Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and verse 19 even mentions Judas Iscariot, who was to betray him. No doubt he was a false disciple, but the rest, yes, they were seeking to do the will of God. They were not without fault. They're different, as it were, aspects to their character, whatever. But the Lord, he refers to them in verse 34. He says, and he looked round about and them which sat about him. And he says, behold, my mother and my brethren. He acknowledges them as his own, as his brethren, as those that belong to him. That was the first part of his answer to the question put in verse 33 when he said, who is my mother or my brethren? Then the second part of the answer is given in our text tonight in verse 35. He goes on and he says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And people, for a little while tonight, it is this thought of the believer doing the will of God that I want us to look at and focus our hearts and our minds upon for a little while this evening. First of all, note with me here the meaning of doing God's will. Our text says, but whosoever shall do the will of God. And our chief ambition in life as Christians, as believers, should be that of doing God's will. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says we are to not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is for our lives. In other words, as we go through our life as Christians, we are to find out God's will for our lives, and then by God's help, we are to seek to do the will of God. And dear believer in Christ tonight, as Christians, yes, you and I, we can find out God's revealed will for us. How? By reading and by searching the Scriptures. That is one of the great purposes of God in giving you and I and His church the Scriptures, so that He would reveal His will to us, His will for our lives is revealed to us in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And look at the final two verses of that chapter, and that reminds us here of the whole great purpose of the Scriptures to really reveal to us God's will for our lives as His people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And people, if you and I, if we are to find out God's will that is revealed to us in the Scriptures and the Bible, then it goes without saying that we must be readers of the Scriptures. We must be students of the Scriptures. In other words, we must read and study the Word of God for ourselves as Christians, as God's people. Yes, it is vitally important that we attend public worship, where God's word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. That's something that's absolutely vital in the life of every Christian and the life of every church. But above and beyond that, as well as attending the public ministry of God's word, it's also vitally important that privately, individually, in our own lives, day by day, we take time to read and to study the word of God for ourselves. This is our spiritual food. This is how God reveals His will to us day by day as the people of God. You remember the words of Christ highlighting the importance of God's Word in the life of the Christian? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And by reading the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, attending, yes, the preaching of the Scriptures, you and I can get to know God's will for our lives as Christians. But along with the reading and the study of the Scriptures, we can also find out God's will for our lives as Christians by prayer, by seeking God publicly in prayer and seeking God privately, day by day, in the quiet place, in the place of prayer, as it were, in the very closet itself. Turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, and to that well-known portion, generally known to us as the Lord's Prayer. And notice here in this passage of Scripture how Christ teaches us this matter about
prayer and getting to know God's will and having God's will revealed to us in our lives as Christians. Go down there to verse number 10 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Notice what he says. He's teaching the disciples here things to pray about, and one of them was the will of God. He says, "Thy kingdom come." Then he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there he was teaching the disciples to pray for God's will to be done, no doubt for them to know and to ascertain God's will for their lives as Christians day by day. How vital that is for us also as believers. By the Scriptures, by prayer, you and I can get to know God's will for our lives. And people, whenever we know God's will for our lives, then it's vitally important that we ask the Lord and we pray to the Lord for grace and for help to do the will of God, to live it out in our lives. That's what the psalmist was praying about in Psalm 119, verse 133, when he prayed to the Lord, "Order my steps in thy word." He was wanting the Lord to direct him, to help him live out the will of God in his life day by day. He was praying for grace and help to that very end in his life. Yes, here we see the meaning of doing God's will. And this really is what Christ was speaking about in our text tonight. And he says, "Whosoever shall do the will of God." How vital the will of God is. Yes, the meaning of doing God's will. Notice secondly here tonight, the blessing of doing God's will. Look at what Christ goes on to say in our text this evening. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, he says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." And in those final words there, there's really the thought of the Lord owning and being closely identified with those who do his will. Hebrews 2 verse 11 speaks of the Lord's relationship with his people, and it says there, "He is not ashamed to call them a brother." And that means that the Lord, if you like, has a brotherly love, a brother's concern for all of his people. And that is especially so when we do the will of God. One of the great titles given to Christ is that of a brother to his people. For it says in the book of Proverbs that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Believer, being near of kin to Christ, it means, yes, that his love for us is an eternal love. He says to us in the book of Jeremiah, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." It also means that his love to us is a tender love, despite our often infirmities and often weaknesses as the people of God. James 5 verse 11 says, "The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And then his love for us also is a chastening love. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." When we go astray, what does the Lord do? He comes to us, he chastens us, and he draws us back to himself, back to his way, back to his will. Then we can see also that his love for us is a love that is stronger than death itself. Turning your Bible over there to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look at the final two verses of that chapter, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and verse 39. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Not even death itself can separate you and I from God's love. And this is the blessed outcome for us as God's people of doing the will of God. Christ says here in our text, he says, "Whosoever shall do the will of God," he says, his Father in heaven, he says, "the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Yes, the meaning of doing God's will, the blessing of doing God's will. Notice one final thought tonight. Notice the motives for doing God's will.
Well, when we think about the motives for doing God's will, we can say that doing the will of God is always for our good as believers. Always remember that, Christian. Doing the will of God is always for our good. You turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And look at verse number 2 of Romans chapter number 12. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Always remember, child of God, the will of God is for your good. As Christians, we never lose out. We are never the poorer for doing the will of God. Also, we can say further tonight, doing the will of God, it brings glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And it's by doing God's will on a daily basis, dear child of God, in our homes, in our workplaces, amongst our family, and then in God's work, that we bring glory to God. And child of God, the Lord has a place for you in life, in your home, your family, your workplace. I believe God has a particular place for every single one of us in life as Christians. And it's there in those places and those callings in life that he gives to it, be it on the farm, be it in the office, be it on the building site, be it in the factory, wherever. There, as we obey the Lord and do the will of God, we bring glory to God. We bring glory to our Savior. That was one of the great cries of the Reformation. God's people, day by day, living out the will of God, living it out to the glory of God. And that surely is one of the great motives for us doing the will of God. It brings glory to God. It's for our good. We can say further tonight, doing the will of God is something that brings delight to the Lord. And again, you see that thought coming out in those final words there of verse 35 of Mark chapter 3. Where Jesus says, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and mother." The emphasis there is on the little word "my." And my, you see, they're speaking of those who do the will of God. Christ likens them, he says, unto his brother. He says, "Unto my brother, unto my sister," if you like, "unto to my mother." And the thought here really is of sweet and close a fellowship with the Lord. The lesson here is that doing God's will is something that brings great delight to the heart of God, to the Lord himself. It brings great delight, great pleasure to the Lord. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and you'll see something of this same truth there in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Look at verses 21 down to verse 23 of John chapter 14. Here Christ is speaking about doing, keeping his commandments, no doubt doing his will, God's will. And in John 14 and verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me," and notice it, "and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, "Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." And notice this promise, "and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And then go down to the next chapter 15 of John's Gospel and the verse 14. Notice again what Christ says. He says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And the thought here, the lesson is this, that when we do God's will, the Lord draws very near. In other words, his presence is very real in our hearts and lives as his people. That's the promise there. That's what the Lord was saying at the end of verse 23 there of John chapter 14. He says, "And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Notice in the verse before that how Judas makes the distinction between the believer and the world, for he says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? The world has no time for God's will or God's word or God's ways. But my, the Christian who loves the Lord, who seeks to live out and do God's will, they will know the Lord drawing near. They will know the Lord's presence with them in a very special and a very real and a very particular way. It doesn't mean that the Christian life does not have its trials or its tribulations, no, but what it does mean, in those situations, whatever they are, the Lord draws very near. And the Lord will be very near to his people. His presence will be very real to them in their life day by day. And I believe the hymn writer really sums up this very same delight in the heart of the Lord by his people seeking to do the will of God when they penned those well-known words and said, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way while we do his good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. One final thought just regarding the motive of doing God's will. Doing God's will on earth, as Christians, it prepares you and I for heaven. It prepares you and I for glory. 1 John 2, verse 17 says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In heaven there's no sin. In heaven there we will perfectly serve God. In heaven we will perfectly do the will of God forever and ever. There'll be nothing to hinder us in heaven from doing the will of God. And by doing God's will on earth, what are we doing? We're preparing for heaven, preparing for glory. Child of God, think of our text tonight. Christ says, but whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. These words, yes, be an encouragement to you and I as Christians in these ungodly days in which we live, to do the will of God in our homes, in our workplaces, amongst our family, in our neighborhoods where we live, and in the work of God that we are involved in. May it ever be our burden, our chief desire, our chief ambition to know and to do the will of God. May God bless his word to our hearts and to our souls this evening. Maybe just turn again in our hymn book to hymn number 467. 467. We'll maybe sing this lovely old hymn before we get down to prayer. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. 467. We'll stand as we sing and singing it out unto the Lord. we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Just want to leave some prayer requests with you. Do please remember the services over the weekend. Be much in prayer for them. The students as they come, remember the forthcoming prayer service. Pray for that as well. And do pray for God's blessing upon it, especially as we make it a gospel outreach that folk will gather in and pay for the invitations that go out. Remember the mission in a few weeks' time commencing out at Springfield. Be much in prayer for that, for those who would take part, sing, testify, the preaching of God's word. And that again, there'll be an interest in the area around Springfield, Bow and Monet and out as far as Derrigonley, that people will come in, Protestant, Roman Catholic alike, to hear the gospel, and that God will be pleased to move and to save. Remember the Sunday school, the youth fellowship, the children's meeting, something to praise the Lord for, a little child, little girl that goes to our Sunday school and also our Friday night meeting there recently professed faith in the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord for that. So pray for her. The Lord will bless her, lead her on with the Lord, and our family also members will be saved and drawn to the Lord as well. Remember, please, the sick and the elderly in your prayers associated with us that they know the Lord's help. Do pray also for our brother, Mr. Ronnie McLean from Oma, is ill in hospital at this time. Do remember him in your prayers, that he know God's touch and healing. And remember our missionaries as well, at home and abroad. Maybe you could remember Joanne Greer, Dave DeCanio there out in Liberia, and then pray for our land and our nation in all of its needs. But these are just some things. I don't want to tie you to these things. But as the Lord leads by his Spirit in this season of prayer, do remember these matters. Maybe I'll ask our brother, Mr. Keith Ferguson, to lead us off in prayer. And then also our brother, Mr. Jeffrey Scott. And then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left. Brother Keith and then Jeffrey, and one after the other, as the Lord leads. Please, thank you.